We welcome you to this broadcast here this evening. We're making this sermon audio, devotion, message here again on a Friday about noon, having it ready to be posted on the air for Sunday night. I know people can look back and weeks and even months from now, even years from now, and look on sermon audio as we are still there and up on the air and go back and see these messages. We never know the full impact of the Word of God, not only as we preach it, but you as a child of God, as you just tell the Word and preach the Word to others and share your testimony, share what the Lord's done for you. The Bible teaches us that God's Word will not return void. We say that a lot, but that gives us comfort to know that what we're doing is not in vain. The Lord tells us to do the work, and He'll bless us for the work. We leave the saving to the Lord. It's all in His hands. I pray you've had a good day. By this time that you watch this, there'll be some that have come up to the parking lot service, and it's been great having these parking lot services that we've been having. We pray that the day's service has been blessed as well. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll go to Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 3. The refiner, it'll be the title of our message. Heavenly Father, we ask the Lord to bless here. Lord, as we put these words forth, Lord, Your Word, not just any words, but the Word of God. Lord, as we put them forth here today in the way of a message, way of devotion, Lord, we ask Your help. I ask You, Lord, to open my heart, open my mind, that I can be able to speak clearly, Lord, as I struggle sometimes, and often I do. Lord, I pray the people's ears will be opened as well. Lord, people are having troubles. People are having difficulties. Lord, You're taking care of all of that. You're in control. And Lord, we need to just realize that and understand that. And Lord, we can look at a lot of things in life, and the chaos of life, the problems of life, and the troubles of life. Lord, we look at all that's going on around us. And Lord, we need to often as well continue to look within ourselves. And Lord, make sure that we are all that we need to be in Your eyes, and that all is well with our soul, because that's all that really makes any difference. When it's all said and done, Lord, it's the relationship we have with You. And Lord, we pray to be a saving relationship for all those that listen in, that we can see people be saved. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You, Lord, even for what we be talking about here today. As the refiner, Lord, as You go through and put us through the refining process, Lord, may we not get angry, may we not get stiff-necked. Lord, may we accept what You have for us, even as Your children, and You're the Father, and we thank You for that. Forgive us of our sins, bless our people, bless those who are having special difficulties, afflictions, sickness, illness. Lord, You know all about it, and You take care of them as only You can. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Malachi chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through verse 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 3. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And Lord, when you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, when you delight in. Behold, it shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's salt. And he shall sit as a refiner and purify his silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer the Lord an offering in righteousness. Oh, the Lord is coming back. We get excited about that. He's preparing the people, even today, to be fit subjects of a place called heaven. We're never going to have a glorified body. Be no more sin, no more tears, no more sorrow, no more crying. We have a body like unto our Lord. In the meanwhile, while we're upon this earth, the Bible teaches us what? He's like the refiner's fire. He is like the fire, and he's also like the fuller soap to cleanse us and purify us. But also the Bible says in verse 3, he shall sit as a refiner. He's the one that watches over the refining process, the purifier of silver. Let's be able to look at that today and take hope and take comfort and that what he's doing for us, read the last part of verse 3, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That we can have be an acceptable offering unto the Lord. What a blessing. What a blessing that will be. I don't have the time available. I don't know exactly what time it is that we have started. We'll try to go ahead and go through the message as time allows here today. As a refiner, the Lord watches over us. I want you to picture in your mind the refiner, the Lord Jesus Christ. He looks upon us as His children, as choice silver and gold, and in a fiery furnace. It may be fine that we find ourselves in the fiery furnace because of various reasons. But you mark it down as God's child, you'll be in a fiery furnace. You're either coming in or going out of the furnace. And there's many and various reasons you may be in the furnace. But all the while, we need to understand that our Lord as a refiner is watching the process all the time. It may be possibly that you're in a fiery furnace because of chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12 speaks about this process of chastisement. The fiery furnace of chastisement. Then also, we think about the fiery furnace of persecution because of others. And the Bible teaches that all that live godly will suffer persecution. People will persecute us for staying true to the Lord. And that perhaps is simply that the Lord is burning away the dross in your life. For those that understand anything about the process of smelting and purifying silver or gold, the dross is after, when it's heated up, the dross is the impurities as it separates itself away. It's either consumed, burned up, or it's kind of slag, it's dross, it separates itself away from the silver or the gold. And then when it's cooled back down, the silver there, the gold's there, and the impurities of dross is away from that. A little thing about the process of refining. Refining, especially silver, is that the temperature is brought to a point. It melts the very rock or melts the piece of silver that has been melted down. If it be a piece of raw silver that's found in the hills, dug out of the ground, and that silver is found, and as it's put in a smelter, and as the refiner's fire, and as it is melted down, silver being a substance, as the temperature rises, the silver will separate from rock the impurities that is around it or that it's in, and any impurities within the silver will continue to separate from the silver, making it more pure. As heat, the temperature continues to rise, the silver will continue to separate that from that which is impure in it, other substances, other form of rock, minerals, they'll separate, and the silver will just continue to become pure. Let's think first of all about the fiery trial of chastisement. It may be that chastisement brought us in the fiery furnace of affliction. Chastisement is a very unpopular and little preached truth anymore. Why? Because people want to sin. They want to continue on in sin. After they're saved out of sin, the Bible says God saves us out of sin. Scripture after scripture says to separate ourselves, to be a separate people, separated away from sin and unto our Lord. To cleanse ourselves, be holy as I'm holy, the Lord says. The Lord wants us to be righteous. He wants us to do and to be right. He wants us to offer up offerings, the last phrase there in verse 3 of our text. That we offer up a good sacrifice in righteousness. In other words, in a right way, in a proper way, in a way pleasing the Lord. But people want to continue on in sin after they've been saved out of sin. Nobody wants to be held accountable for sin. The lost don't want to be held accountable. If a lost man would think about his accountability for sin, he would certainly throw up his hands and say, Lord, forgive me and save me of my sin. But it's sad when saved people don't want to be held accountable for their sin. They make excuses why that they don't continue on a good, pure, holy life. They use the old, Adamic nature within me. That old nature still within me. I can't be perfect. Well, no, none of us can be perfect. But we're to strive to repent and keep our life, and the Lord will accept us in good fellowship and be able to bless us. And we can take advantage of the wonderful promises of the Bible and the Word of God. But people don't want to be accountable for their sin. The Bible teaches us even after the we're saved, we become an eternal child of God. But it's also true, as a child of God, that you will receive chastisement of the Lord. You say chastisement for what? We cannot live a perfect life. We will not live a perfect life. And God will chasten His own. In Hebrews 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. The Bible says that God will scourge, God will chasten, God will whip and correct His children. Why? Because we're children. And children are often and will be disobedient. Has anybody ever had a child that was 100% obedient? I know now some children are much more obedient to parents than others, but are all children always obedient? There's never been no perfect one except Jesus Christ, our Savior. But the Bible says again there, verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Let's read on to verse 7 and 8. If you endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons. For what son is whom the father chasteneth not? Every son, every child, as it's reared, has to receive instruction, will receive instruction and correction in the things that the father wants them to do. Verse 8 is a very, very impacting passage of Scripture. There are those that says, I've never had chastisement. I don't think God chastens me. They just go on in their sinful life. The Bible says in verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. That's serious, my friend. That's serious. If you've never had the chastening of the Lord in your life, that simply says that you don't belong to God, that you're not saved. And how we want you to be saved today, to know you're saved, eternally saved. You repent of your sins, put your faith and trust in Christ, and you've been born again. As you are born again, child of God, the Bible says that one of the proofs that you are God's child is that God will chasten you as a father, because He is your father. It's not a matter as we, after we're saved, if we find ourselves in the fiery furnace of chastisement. For all of us, sooner or later, are going to find ourselves in that fiery furnace of chastisement. For all of us will sin. None of us is perfect. Romans chapter 7 deals with that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse chapter 1 and chapter 2 deal with that. But I'm thankful and I'm so happy and I praise the Lord that He watches over us even while we're in the fiery furnace of chastisement. It's up to us to realize what verse 11 through verse 13 tells us. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Why would any child of God think that it's such a strange thing for our Lord to chasten us? He's our Lord. He's our Heavenly Father. Why would you think it's strange? On in verse 9 and 10, we back up. The Bible says, furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. As we was raised and reared by our parents, they corrected us. And we gave them reverence. We still loved them. We still cared for them. Godly correction by a parent does not cause a child to hate that parent, but it'll cause them to have more respect for them as they correct them in love. Now, I don't advocate hurting children, abusing children in no way, form, or fashion. I don't advocate for that. I stand against that. But a child that is corrected in the biblical way, as God says, is not abuse. The Bible actually says it's love. And God, as He loves us, He corrects us. And furthermore, we had fathers of our flesh has corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chase us after their own pleasure, but for our profit, but He for our profit, we might be partakers of His holiness. Listen, God corrects us, and He corrects us for a reason. Now, no chasing for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness, and them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, the Bible says, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. What's God doing when He chastens us? When He puts us in the fiery furnace of chastisement, He's burning away the dross, the impurities, causing us to forsake our sins. And remember this, it's not the physical pain or the suffering as we're in that fiery furnace that causes us to forsake our sins. That's not what brings about the forgiveness of our sins. That's what some religions do. They promote and create such a thing as penance, that you physically punish yourself, withhold things from yourself, do harm, hurt to yourself, and thereby thinking that God's going to be pleased because you're punishing yourself for what you've done. Listen, that's not what brings about forgiveness. It's that this, the pain and suffering that the fiery furnace brings upon us, that drives us to the Lord, from which cometh our help. It drives us to the cooling, refreshing, blessedness that comes with repentance as we come to Him by faith and repent. It's the forgiveness granted by the Lord as we come into Him with a broken, humble, and a contrite heart that restores that good fellowship. Listen, the Lord is watching us. He controls the temperature, the duration, the chastisement, all for our good and His glory. Number two, we think about in this passage of Scripture, oftentimes we find ourselves in the fiery furnace affliction caused by the persecution of others. The list goes on and on. Peter, the Apostle Paul, John the Isle of Patmos, Daniel, the three Hebrew children, people of faith throughout the so-called dark ages and even today suffer persecution. All that live godly will suffer persecution. The old deceiver and his henchmen, along with those of a retrobate mind, will be used as a pawn of the devil to throw you into a fiery furnace of persecution. As you read through the book of Psalms, what do we read? Over and over, the psalmist speaks about those that are persecuted him, trying to destroy him, trying to destroy him and his confidence in his God. All through the Bible, we see that happening to men of God and women of God. But we have the promise. We have the promise of those that try to attack us. Romans 8, 35 through verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are counted sheep for the slaughter. And they in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a glorious passage of Scripture. the promise of God, that we'll overcome, that we'll get out of that fiery furnace of persecution as God allows us to come out of that. And we got to come out of it the right way and understand and know. Anger, vengeance, hatred, that's what the devil feeds on. The Bible says we are to forgive those who persecute us. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying I've always. I'm not going to say 50% of the time that I come through it the right way. But I need to, because persecution is always going to be. And oftentimes people are watching us how that we deal with the persecution of others. Let's come through it like Christ come through it, as even as he hung on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Be like Stephen as he was stoned and looking up into heaven. As those that tried and did ultimately kill him. May we be like our Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 through verse 16, we need to certainly make sure that when we suffer persecution, it's not brought on by our own foolishness and sinful ways. I'm not saying that you go out of your way to antagonize people. I'm not going to say go out of your way and belittle or downgrade people. Certainly people will strike back. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 and 16, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, as a busybody of other men's matters." In other words, the Bible says we're going to have trouble. And verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange during the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Listen, we're all going to go through some trials. And whether it be a trial of chastisement or it be a trial of persecution, regardless, the Bible says we need to make sure that it's not a trial that's come upon us because of our own foolishness. "Yet if any man suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf." That's important to remember. Very important to remember. We are going to be persecuted, but we do not need to give the enemy room or give the enemy ammunition to tear us down. Because they think as they tear us down, they think they're tearing down our God and our Lord. And as his representative, as his ambassador, as his children, we do represent him. And we need to hold him up and not be a part of tearing him down. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 11 through verse 13, "Bless ye when men shall revile you, persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets were before you. You're the salt of the earth, with the salt of the lost of the Savior, where will it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to cast out and be trodden under the foot of men." So again, you're going to be persecuted. Just make sure you come through the persecution of men in a way that glorifies your Lord. And then lastly, it may be that you're in the fiery furnace of persecution simply because the Lord, simply because the Lord is wanting to burn away the dross. Why is the silver? Why is the silver put in the furnace? It is put in the furnace to take away the dross. To take away that which is impure. The same thing applies for God's children. God's trying to make us pure. God's trying to make us more fit subject for heaven. God is making us be conformed to the image of His Son. In 1 Peter chapter 4, we read verse 12 and verse 13. Let's read again. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice in as much you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory should be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy." Listen, the Lord's working on us. It may be He puts in the fiery furnace because He's wanting to burn away the dross. He's wanting to purify us. He's wanting to teach us. Teaching us to be more forgiving, more compassionate, more patient, more holy, more prayerful, more humble, to be more soul conscious. He's teaching us perhaps to that we would be more like the Savior. But what you got to understand is this. Whether it be in the fire furnace of chastisement, whether it be the fire furnace of persecution from others, whether in the fire furnace and because the Lord's trying to, not trying, but the Lord has burned away the dross, the impurities in our life, you got to understand, as our text verse says, even as we're in the furnace, He's watching us. He's always watching us. And He promised He'll never put more upon us than we can bear, so we can rejoice in that. That even in the fiery furnace, our Lord is always watching us. And it very well may be, and most of the time it is, just like with old Daniel, like it stopped the mouth of the lions, just like it was Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Oftentimes the Lord is right in there with us. Always watching out for us, always taking care of us. He's our Lord. Heavenly Father, just dismiss with Thy blessings. Thank You, Lord, for the message today. Lord, am I trying to stumble through these thoughts and these things, Lord, but they're important truths. Lord, it's Your truth. And Lord, wherever we find ourselves, Lord, may we always be able to give You the glory and the honor for all things. Bless us, Lord. Bless Your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.